I'd like to extend Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. I trust that we can continue to worship God together, each one of us. It's been a blessing to be here already. And I guess for a message, I was thinking of looking at the question, some, who or what are you following? In the beginning, I started out somewhat thinking along the line of who is your captain? It's not a word we find a whole lot of in Scripture. But as we think of that thought, it goes back to who are you following? Or sometimes it's not a person as such, but it can also be something. You think of the thought of captain is someone who could be referred to as a prince or a ruler. Hebrews 2 chapter 10 talks about the captain of our salvation being made perfect through sufferings. That is talking about the one who was the captain. We know that Christ was the author of eternal salvation. He's actually brought it into existence in that case. But by our lives, the practical outworking, the life that we live, bears testimony to the fact of who we are following. We can think of the part of who is at the top of that, whether it's God or Satan. We heard a little bit about the battle that has been going on and is still going on, I believe, today, between God and between the devil. And let's just start in the beginning here. I want to go to Romans chapter 6. It doesn't have the word follow in this particular passage, but I'd just like to read from verses 13 to 17. Romans 6:13 says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." I'll read verse 18 yet. "But being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." In this passage, it really stands out to me, especially in verse 16 there. He's asking them, "Don't you know that whoever you personally choose to yield yourself to, you become a servant?" And that can be, it doesn't use the terms God and Satan, but it talks about whether we yield ourselves to sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But we know that the obedience is referring to God, to his word, and a right way of living. And if you take that just a little bit further, our choice, our personal choice, puts us into one kingdom or the other, and also under one master or the other. Jesus taught, you know, you cannot serve two masters. We're either going to pull to the one and despise, or hold to the one and despise the other. So as we consider this question of who are we following? Are we following Jesus today? We need to be reminded, I believe, that there is a cause. There was a cause back in the time when David was here. You know, I had to think of that little story we have of when David went down to see his brothers in the camp, the older ones that were off at war. And his oldest brother there was accusing him concerning his motives about why he had left the sheep and come down. And David asked that question, you know, is there not a cause? And I believe we need to be convinced yet today that the cause of Christ is still of utmost importance. There is a cause, and are we following that? Perhaps the thought of who or what we are following is also closely associated with our worship. But I just had to think, you know, man is made in such a way that he finds fulfillment in giving himself to a cause. You know, and there's a whole multiplicity of causes that a person can put their energy behind. And hopefully we'll look at some of those this morning. Some of them are very much in the realm of here and now. As we think of the cause of Christ, it's something much greater. It goes beyond into eternity. It's more than just for here and now. The cause of Christ and of being followers of Him. Is something that starts in this life, but it goes on into where we will spend eternity. That's why it's so important what we are following. First of all, I'd like to spend just a little time going to the Gospels and picking up some verses we see there when Jesus was here on earth. We have him beginning his earthly ministry. I think we're just going to go through a few different verses and look at how Jesus called his disciples there. Matthew chapter 4, first of all. These are repeated again and again, but as you look at Matthew 4 and verse 18, I think I'm going to read verse 18 to 22. We have Jesus here walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Here we have a few of the disciples, Peter and Andrew first, and then James and John. And we have Jesus as he was beginning his earthly ministry here, I believe. He was calling men that were willing to follow. And we see as they chose to follow Christ, they had to leave something else behind. And we could, you know, they left their livelihood behind there and they went to follow Jesus. And just further back in chapter 9 and verse 9, we have again another one that I believe this was Matthew there. Jesus passed by him and saw Matthew there sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me, and he arose and followed him. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16 now, verse 24. Thinking of the thought of following Jesus, we saw some of these disciples, and that was just five of them, how when Jesus called them, they were willing to follow. In chapter 16 and verse 24, it says, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is it profited if him he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. And there in verse 24, we see the thought of self-denial. And that is some pertinent instruction for us, not just for the disciples in that time, but also we should consider this. It says, if we are going to follow Jesus, he says, let him deny himself. You know, the whole thought of self-denial and cross-bearing is not popular. It goes against the flesh and our own carnal desires. But that is what Jesus is asking of us. If we are going to follow him, we cannot follow ourselves and still follow Christ. We need to surrender to his call. You know, and we see, and that is one of the places where we really face the challenge, I believe. What are we willing? Are we willing to deny ourselves of, you know, whatever it might be to you, fleshly lusts and various things that would seek our attention? We also have the little story Jesus gave there in Matthew 19 where we sometimes refer to this individual as the rich young ruler. And he came and was asking Jesus, you know, what do I lack yet? And Jesus told him there, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And it says there, he heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. See, in that story, we see that his possessions were a stumbling block and were holding him back from being willing to just give that all up and follow Jesus. You know, we certainly understand, as we see, why is it that men strive for the wealth of this world or whatever it is, honor and fame? It's because those are some of the things that self-interest will take us into, where Jesus calls us to something different. Jesus calls us to simply being willing to be servants in doing his will. Going over to John chapter 10, I'd like to just read. We know in John 10, which Jesus is teaching about himself being the door into the sheepfold. He's the way through which we enter. In verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Here he says, my sheep hear my voice. And he knows them. And because of that connection, he says, they follow me. It's using the illustration of sheep following the shepherd. How is it with us? Are we following our shepherd? Just going to read some verses there in Peter where it tells us, even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Here we see that Christ gave an example, and we know that certainly as he faced life there when he was here on earth in the flesh, he gave the disciples then, and he gave us, from what we read in Scripture, it gives us an example of how we are to walk and how we are to follow him. His desire is that we would follow in his footsteps. It's through his marvelous workings that we can be healed, we can find new life. It says we were as sheep going astray, but you know, when we make that choice to turn, we can return back to the shepherd of our souls, the one that truly cares for us. Back in Matthew chapter 19, there was a little incident there where Peter, the Peter was asking Jesus what their reward was going to be. In Matthew 19:27, then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Peter asked Jesus, and Jesus gave him an answer here, what I believe verse 28 is specifically spoken to the apostles. But he goes on to mention anyone, everyone that has forsaken something to follow Christ is going to receive a reward. Is going to receive a reward for that. And all that follow the way of Christ can inherit everlasting life. There's also a case there in going back to the Gospel of John in chapter 13. We have Jesus teaching his disciples some things. Jesus was teaching Peter here. Maybe I'll just read verse 36 and 37 first. It says, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And then we have Jesus warning Peter that he was going to deny him. And we know this story was ahead of the crucifixion, and I believe Peter here was struggling to understand what Jesus was teaching, but I believe in the future after Jesus went back to the Father, I believe Peter understood this, and we can understand what it's referring to. I think when Jesus returned back to the Father, the apostles were left here on earth to be witnesses of Christ, and he was explaining how you can only follow me afterwards. That was where we know that believers can go to meet Jesus again, but only in God's timing. Also, I'd like to just pick up one more case in John 21 here. This was after Jesus had, after the resurrection. We have the account in this chapter where Jesus was talking to Peter and telling him to feed his sheep. And going on down to verse 19, it says, well, verse 18, I believe it was Jesus telling Peter something about his death, how Peter himself would die. It says, This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. As you look at that little interchange there between Jesus and Peter, it highlights the fact that the call to follow Jesus is a personal call. It's not a, and what we are called to go through, what we will experience as we follow through on that call, is not the same for everyone. And Jesus did not want Peter unduly concerned about what this other disciple was going to experience. He told him, Follow thou me. think he would tell each one of us today, follow thou me. That is God's desire, that we would be following him. You know, I mentioned the thought of the choice we make puts us in one kingdom or another, and under one master or another. Let's not forget that. That's why it's important what we choose to do in life, even down to very small things. If we do not yield to the call of Jesus to follow him, by default, we are going to be serving Satan. Now, we don't tend to think of it maybe in such stark a difference, and yet it's really there. You know, Scripture talks about the God of this world blinding the minds of those that don't believe. And I believe as we truly understand how important it is to follow Jesus, we can see where it takes us if we do not. If we do not follow Jesus, we will be following the prince of the power of the air. In Ephesians 2 verse 2 it says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. In these verses, we see that all of us, we all started out in that state. Either we were there or we are still there. But even believers, Paul is reminding us that in time past, we walked after the course of this world. And it talks here about the prince of the power of the air. He's the spirit, the one that is working in the children of disobedience. And we see that is not, as we follow him, we are not fulfilling God's plan or God's will for our lives, but rather we're desiring fleshly desires. And we are under the wrath of God if we are living in that way. Like I mentioned before, I'll just say it again, man finds fulfillment in giving himself to a cause, whatever that cause might be. If it's not for the cause of the truth, it's going to end up being unbelief and all sorts of sin and debauchery. All things that are evil come under the heading or under Satan. Jesus told, there in Matthew 23, we have Jesus telling some people that they were of their father, the devil. You know, who is our father? Who are we following? And we know there's also a hardness and deception that comes as people resist the call of God and refuse that. And that can be taken, we know that, maybe we don't think about this much, but recently it came to my attention as I saw some people on the street, some people that appeared to be dressed as witches, and on their clothing one of them said, doing the devil's work, or something to that effect. There are some people like that around. There are those that are openly following Satan and worshiping him. But as you think here of what I read in Ephesians 2, it talks there about fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. It's a lot of self-interest, selfishness. That is all underneath the in the realm of Satan's kingdom. You know, man likes to think he can be the captain of his own ship. Is that even possible? You know, man likes to think he can run things on his own. But I don't think that is really possible. That is a delusion. Like that verse in Romans said, whoever we are, yield ourselves servants to obey, we become servants to him. Whether it's God or whether it's Satan. You know, thinking of causes. Well, the thought of being captain of our own ship, I had to think of the thought that our default setting is to go wrong. That is the natural bend of man, is to go wrong. We know the story of how sin entered the world. By man's choice, sin entered. And because of that, each one of us faces that choice. Everyone down through the years of history since that happening has to make a choice. And we cannot avoid that. In Exodus 23, I came across a verse where it talks about the Israelites were commanded not to follow a multitude to do evil. You know, it doesn't matter if there's a whole crowd of people doing wrong. That's still, God's desire is not that we would do that. You know, and perhaps you could say that's the mob spirit. Sometimes people get involved in a mob spirit and begin to do things they don't even, haven't thought through. Causes that people follow. You know, there's a lot of wrong causes that man can put his energies into. What about patriotic feelings and stuff? You know, how much are we getting involved in those things? Think of the political world, in civil governments. That's men striving for honor and fame. You could think of sports, whatever level of that. Or entertainment, you know, man is always out looking for drama and excitement, something to take his time and attention, something to follow. And if we do not follow God, we will fill the void with something else. The entertainment world, you know, what does the movie industry appeal to? Well, we know it appeals to the lust of the flesh, and it's not under the blessing of God. All of that are causes that bring anyone following them under the wrath of God, according to Scripture. You can think of many different things, whatever they might be, that come under into those categories. Things that do not bring honor and glory to God come short of fulfilling God's will for us if we are following Christ. But, you know, I believe part of that thing of all the offers of things that Satan would like to allure man with, it's counterfeits to keep man from following God the way we should. He wants to take our time. He wants to take our dollars or whatever. And sometimes things that would come even closer home are things that are right in themselves, but if we take them to an extreme and we make an idol or a following, we follow that with our entire being, it becomes an idol to us. You know, even things like the business we may be involved in, does that become a god to us, or do we spend our entire waking moments thinking how we can do something better here? We know The Apostle Paul was a tent maker, but we don't read much about that. He didn't tell us much about that. He spent time promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think that is probably something for us to consider. There's also thinking of wrong things or wrong paths to follow. There's also the thing of false prophets. I'd like to read a verse in 2 Peter 1 and 2. It says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Here we have the Apostle Peter warning about false prophets. And we understand they were around back in Peter's day, and they're around today as well. There was a condemnation spoken on foolish prophets in Ezekiel 13:3. It says, "Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing." I just thought that was interesting. I should consider that in comparison with what we read here in Peter. False prophets are ones who are giving a false sense of security or hope, perhaps. Not being true to Scripture. And it also mentions the thought here that many will follow their pernicious ways. And false doctrine enters in. And one key thing here, it says that deny the Lord that bought them. We cannot get around the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And that he was divine as well. That's another point we need to acknowledge, that Jesus was the Son of God. Whatever falsehood comes in. And I would say there's also many voices are out there today. You could say perhaps like never before. We know that all sorts of voices, religious voices, that are available. And perhaps we're dabbling into some of those things. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, we have Daniel the prophet talking about the end times, where he says, "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." You know, and it's interesting. Daniel could have never seen the day and age in which we live, but certainly things about our day clearly fit there. The running to and fro, you can think of people traveling, and knowledge being increased. There's knowledge available out there on the internet, we say. But we need to be careful. Are we sure it's true? And when it comes to spiritual things, the Scripture would teach us that we should know of whom we have learned them. If we know their manner and walk of life, that is a test we should be putting to it. We know Jesus, when he was here on earth the first time, he warned against deception. The question is, who do we look to for answers? It depends what questions we have, perhaps, but we see in people asking Google for an answer. Is that where we go? Well, there may be some facts we can get from that, but let's not forget where the true answers for life are in the Word of God. And that is the only place that we can truly find the answers for life. Colossians 1:13 says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." I would like to switch back here to the positive side, some things we're to follow after. You know, and we should all thank God for the ability to switch allegiance to Christ's kingdom there and be delivered from the power of darkness and following a wrong path. Following our own selfish desires or whatever we would get ourselves. It's very important. And it's only God that can bring that deliverance to us. Deliver us from the power of darkness and bring us into the kingdom of light and into the kingdom of His dear Son. And one of the reasons it's so important who we are following, that choice will follow us into eternity. Let's just look at a few scriptures yet in the New Testament. I'd like to pick up Philippians chapter 3. And verse 10, we have the Apostle Paul saying that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Here we have the Apostle Paul sharing his burden that he wanted to continue to follow after Christ, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and continuing to press toward that mark. That certainly should be the goal of each one of us as Christians. We should be interested in following after that calling. First Thessalonians 5:15 says, but ever follow that which is good. Again, just a little brief quote there, but I believe it's truly divinely inspired. God's desire is that we would follow that which is good. Let's go to first of all, I'd just like to mention Hebrews 12, verse 14, I believe it is, talks about following peace with all men and holiness. God's desire is that we will be following peace and having a holy manner of life. And let's turn to 1 Timothy in chapter 6 here. In verse 10, he talks about the love of money being the root of all evil. And maybe I didn't mention much about that back in the thoughts of something wrong that people can follow. That's something that appeals to carnal man. Our natural man is drawn to that. And the love of money can be the root of a lot of other evils. But it says if we are coveting after those things, and even the thought of coveting after that can take us the wrong direction. But verse 11 says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Here we have the Apostle Paul instructing Timothy and calling, coming down to all of us, I believe, that if we are people of God, we need to flee Back further, he mentions foolish and hurtful lusts. Whatever may draw us away from being able to follow God as we ought, we're to flee from those things. And as people of God, we're to follow after righteousness. Follow after Christ, the one who was righteous and who is the one that can impute righteousness to us. You know, we need to remember it's not in ourselves, but it's in Christ and his work that he can impute righteousness on us. The thought of godliness here, and we're to follow after godliness. You know, again, just contrasting the two different ways. With righteousness, we can also follow unrighteousness. That can be our choice. Or we could follow ungodliness or unbelief, hatred, whatever. The opposites of what we see here in this verse, but godliness, we think of Christ's example he gave us, not only his example, but the teaching he left. And then we also have the teaching of the apostles in the epistles of how Christians ought to live. I believe as we seek to follow that, we will grow more godly. The thought of faith here, we're to follow after faith. Again, that's a very important element. Can we trust that God has everything in control? Everything that's happening in this world, do we believe, do we trust and know that God has it all under his control? Whether it's, you know, what's happening in our world, whether it's in our own personal life and what we're facing, let's have faith and know that God has it all under his control. And he also calls on us to follow after love. You know, we heard some about that. We sang a song about that. The love of God. And even the one phrase I had to think of in that song where it talks about when earthly thrones and kingdoms fall. The love of God's still going on and God is still working out his will. You know, that is one reason why I believe as we read scripture, love is given a very preeminent place. It is something that never ends, it tells us. And he also tells us on patience here, patience and meekness. As we follow after these things, we will be fighting the good fight of faith because we are called on to lay hold on eternal life. That's why it is so important as we think of what we are following. Who are we following? Are we following Christ? Or are we following the evil one? You know, even back, that made a tremendous difference in the story of Caleb. What do we think of Caleb for? As you read of some of the scriptures where he is mentioned, it brings it out very clear. It says, Caleb was one who wholly followed the Lord. And because he wholly followed the Lord, he was one that was allowed to go into the promised land. We know that the other 10 spies that went out with him, they were part of the generation that died in the wilderness because God barred them from entering Canaan because of their unbelief. But God made a difference. With Caleb, he was allowed to go in because he wholly followed the Lord. He followed the whole way through life. It's not something we can wait till the end of life and get right with God. You know, Balaam there, when he was blessing Israel, said, let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like his. But he was not willing to do what it took to follow God before, when he knew what God's command was. He still loved the wages of unrighteousness, and that is why he could not come through and why he did not die the death of the righteous. Last night as I was studying, I listened to the song, Where Will You Be in a Million Years From Now? You know, and that is the sobering reality as we think of who are we following. Where does that take us? You know, where will you be in a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing? That's a sober question. Let's all think of that. Where will we be? Who are we following today? We know Scripture teaches two destinies, and if we're not going to be in a state of bliss, we are going to be suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And that just, I would like to, in closing, say that should underscore how important it is to follow Christ. Let's kneel for prayer.